When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Televised hearings on the January 6th U.S. Capitol attack begin tonight. But can they sway public opinion?
Who knows? Maybe they do have some bombshell news that's going to be a headline in all the newspapers the next day. But the biggest challenge, really, is getting people to change their opinions after they've already made up their mind.
Plus, the U.S. House passes new gun control measures, and G7 countries weigh steps to stem oil price hikes. It's Thursday, June 9th. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. In a largely party-line vote, the Democratic-controlled U.S. House of Representatives passed a broad package of measures intended to reduce gun violence last night. The bill would raise the age for purchasing semi-automatic rifles and shotguns to 21 from the current 18, along with increasing gun storage requirements, banning licensed dealers from selling high-capacity magazines, and prohibiting bump stocks, which make semi-automatic rifles shoot like machine guns. Ahead of the vote, lawmakers heard testimony from an 11-year-old girl who survived the recent school shooting in Uvalde, Texas, as well as from Kimberly Rubio, whose 10-year-old daughter was killed there.
I left my daughter at that school, and that decision will haunt me for the rest of my life.
And Rubio continued,
somewhere out there is a mom listening to our testimony, thinking, I can't even imagine their pain, not knowing that our reality will one day be hers, unless we act now.
The House bill is considered a non-starter in the evenly split U.S. Senate, where negotiators are working on a narrower set of proposals. U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says the U.S. is considering reducing tariffs on China to ease inflation. Yellen told House lawmakers on Wednesday that while some tariffs are important to protect U.S. national security, the cost of certain duties ended up being paid by Americans. Meanwhile, China has reported a strong rebound in its May export activity, with exports jumping 16.9% from a year earlier. That comes as the world's second-largest economy gradually emerges from COVID-19 lockdowns. The U.S. and other members of the Group of Seven wealthy nations are discussing new measures to avoid further oil price spikes by potentially forming a buyer's cartel and setting a cap on the price of Russian oil. U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has said a secondary sanctions regime is also being discussed. Those sanctions could threaten countries like India and China with losing access to U.S. financial institutions if they purchase Russian oil at a price outside of parameters set by the U.S. And U.S. Federal Trade Commission Chairwoman Lina Khan says the FTC is considering restricting the use of non-compete clauses by companies, which she says stifle competition for talent and can hurt low-wage workers by restraining pay growth and mobility. Companies have argued these clauses are needed to protect trade secrets. Responding in a statement, Sean Heather, Senior Vice President of Antitrust Policy at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, said that a blanket ban on non-competes would be a clear sign of FTC overreach. Today, the European Central Bank is expected to announce that it will hike interest rates in July and September, moving away from its policy of negative rates and belatedly joining a rush of central banks around the globe in tightening policy. WSJ correspondent Tom Fairless covers Europe's economy and the ECB, and he joins us now with more. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Luke.
So for a while, the ECB had been saying it would be slow to follow the lead of the Federal Reserve in raising rates and ending its bond purchasing program. Why this sudden shift in strategy?
That's right. It's a pivot point for the ECB, and they've suddenly got more aggressive about increasing interest rates. They're signaling now, and they will signal today, that they will increase interest rates above zero by September. And that would be the first time in 8 years that the ECB's interest rate is above zero. For a long time, the ECB's president, Christine Lagarde, was arguing that the Eurozone economy was just not ready for higher interest rates. It was in a different spot from the US economy. But now the inflation has become a problem. It's looking more entrenched, more persistent in the Eurozone, just like in the US. Inflation has risen above 8% in Europe. And the core inflation, which is the underlying persistent part the economists tend to look at, has risen to almost 4% in the Eurozone. So this increase is partly because there's common global pressures like the lockdowns in China and the war in Ukraine, which is on Europe's doorstep, and that's driving up energy prices in particular. And also the Eurozone economy is making progress. The labor markets are looking quite tight. The unemployment rate has fallen to a record low of 6.8%. And so all that indicates that the economic recovery is progressing and possibly the economy can tolerate higher rates.
So yeah, we are seeing the Eurozone economy now growing faster than expected in the first quarter of this year. But could there still be risks to the strategy the ECB is pursuing here?
I think the first quarter growth will give the ECB some confidence. It would be tricky, obviously, for the ECB to start aggressively increasing interest rates during a recession. And so that this kind of 2.5% annualized growth rate is actually more solid than the US, which contracted in the first quarter, I think would give some confidence to the ECB. However, those figures could be revised. They often are revised. They contain distortions. The ECB thinks it needs to increase interest rates above zero, but the ultimate destination of interest rates is still unclear. And a lot of ECB policymakers are still worried about going too far with these interest rate increases. And what investors will watch particularly closely today is how quickly they're going to move. Some policymakers have called for a 0.5 percentage point rate increase already in July. Others are much more worried about that. So I think that's going to be the focus of investors' attention at today's press conference.
That was Wall Street Journal correspondent Tom Fairless, who covers Europe's economy and the ECB for us. Tom, thanks.
Thanks so much, Luke.
Coming up, the House panel investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol is preparing to kick off a series of televised hearings starting tonight. But is the U.S. public ready to tune in? We'll have that story after the break.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Later today, the House committee investigating the January 6th, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol will begin a series of televised hearings. Committee members want to tell a streamlined version of the events surrounding January 6th and to sway public opinion in the process. Scott Patterson is the Wall Street Journal's investigative reporter focused on the January 6th investigation, and he joins us now with more on what to expect as these hearings get underway. Hi, Scott.
Hi.
So tell us, what can we expect at tonight's hearing and in the weeks ahead?
Tonight, we're going to see a very unusual primetime televised hearing, the first hearing that the January 6th committee is going to hold. It's the first of six that's going to play out over the next 2 weeks. And tonight, they indicated that they plan to present a sweeping overview of the investigation that's been going on for nearly a year. It's included interviews with more than 1,000 people, tens of thousands of documents. So a very vast, sweeping investigation into the events of January 6th and what led up to it. There's going to be a few people who appear before the committee, including a documentarian who was present on the ground on January 6th during the attack and witnessed some attacks on Capitol officers. And there also will be testimony from one of those Capitol officers who was attacked and sustained an injury that day.
More broadly, Scott, what does the committee aim to achieve with these hearings?
The committee, I think their primary goal is to address the American public, tell them what happened from their view based on all of the research that they've done and all the people they've spoken to, and make a very simple, straightforward argument that this attack on January 6, 2021 was the direct result of President Trump's attempt to overturn the 2020 election and stop the transfer of power. The first time that's ever happened in the history of the United States.
And is there going to be any new information presented at these hearings?
There will be new information. They've indicated that there will be some new documents that they release and probably text messages from the Trump chief of staff, Mark Meadows, apparently are going to play a role. We don't know if there's going to be bombshell information, you know, the kind of thing that directly links White House officials to the attack. So they're going to tell a lot of things that we already know. And that's one of the challenges the committee faces, is that a lot of the things that they're going to be talking about over the next 2 weeks have already come out. There's been a lot of leaks. There's been widespread coverage of it throughout the media. So I think they're really going to be targeting people who may not have been paying that much attention to the news, maybe swing voters who might be persuadable that something actually happened, because the Republican narrative is that this wasn't that big a deal and we should just move on.
Yeah, I was going to say the committee is primarily made up of Democratic members of Congress. What has the Republican Party response been to the idea of holding these hearings in the first place?
Well, they've opposed it from the beginning and they don't think it's necessary. But now they're saying that the hearings are a distraction. They're politically motivated witch hunt. They are trying to take voters' minds off of other issues like inflation and high gas prices and crime. And that's been pretty much their talking points.
I mean, speaking of unusual events, how unusual is it to see hearings structured like the ones we're about to witness compared to all of the hearings that Congress typically conducts?
Well, one thing that's unusual is that it's in prime time, and that's very unusual. Some of the impeachment hearings did go into prime time. But I think also it appears that they're trying to make it a very much made-for-TV presentation, especially the one we're going to see tonight, and maybe the final hearing on June 23rd, which is also going to be prime time. They're going to lean, I believe, heavily on video recordings of the attack itself. And also they've got extensive video recording of the people they interviewed, including Trump's daughter, Ivanka Trump, and Jared Kushner. Bill Barr testified a week ago, so we could see video from him either today or in subsequent hearings. So I think they want to make it good TV that people are going to talk about the next day.
And how likely is it that in addition to these hearings maybe generating some talk the next day, as you say, they actually lead to a change in public opinion?
It's really hard to say because opinions have crystallized about what happened on January 6th over the past 18 months. A lot of people have made up their mind based on, you know, the kind of media they consume. So Fox News viewers have one view. MSNBC viewers have a different view. Fox News is not going to televise the hearing. So that's a bit of a blow to the committee, which probably, you know, that might be one of its prime target audiences. So, yeah, it's a big uphill climb for them. It remains to be seen. I guess maybe there'll be polls that come out after the hearings to see. But I'd say it's the biggest challenge, really, is getting people to change their opinions after they've already made up their mind.
Scott Patterson is the Wall Street Journal's investigative reporter focused on the January 6th investigation. Scott, thank you so much for previewing what we're going to see tonight.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, bumblebees are now fish, at least according to a recent ruling by a panel of top judges in California that was intended to clear up a legal battle between conservationists and farmers. California almond farmers wanted bees kept off the state's endangered species list, which affords special protections to any endangered bird, mammal, fish, amphibia, or reptile. And bees, they argued, shouldn't make the cut. But WSJ reporter Matt Grossman explains why California lawmakers' wording of a 1969 law opened the door to rulings that seem to defy scientific classification.
When they defined fish, they included things that we don't exactly think of as fish, like crustaceans, which would be things like crabs and lobsters. And they also used the word invertebrates. At the time, they might have been thinking of invertebrates that live in the water. A court decided last week that the word invertebrate is in the law, and therefore any invertebrate can count as endangered in California, including something like a bumblebee. So that's how bumblebees get lumped in as a type of fish in California.
And that is What's News for Thursday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.